Welcome inside the coach's room. Every week, we talk to elite coaches and backroom staff about their experiences, how they develop, and how they develop their players.
You know, the bravery is you're going to take things on and there's going to be failures. How do you respond to that? Yep. How do you react to that? And I think for our young players, it's giving them preparation and that's how we can try to instill confidence.
In this episode, we talk to Josh and Owen Wolf. Josh is a former national team player of the United States and now the coach of Austin FC. And Owen, his son, recently signed for the first team of Austin FC. As you can imagine, this brings an interesting dynamic to their relationship because they're not only father and son, but they're also coach and player. So enjoy this episode with Josh and Owen Wolf. Welcome inside the coach's room. The first father and son and player and coach. We'll see where we're at. You're not a podcast listener?
No, not really.
Okay, so this could be boring.
Okay.
No, I don't know. You are sometimes?
Yeah, I think so. As a coach, you're always trying to hear ideas, in this sport, but in other sports. So I find, some of that interesting. I receive from other coaches as well. So.
Yeah. But Austin also had their own podcast, right?
The players, they have...
Oh, the players have one.
What is it?
I don't know what it is, but it's the...
Yeah, Con Mate, it's our Argentinians.
Okay.
There's three or four.
Oh, it's in Spanish?
It's in Spanish.
You speak Spanish?
No.
So you don't know what they're saying about you?
Yeah. No, I'll understand a little okay. bit, but I don't speak much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you listen to that one or do you leave it up to the players?
They have the players on there. They've had the coach on there. And our Argentinians, Uruguayans, Colombians, they all, to some degree, they speak English. But it's good to get in their space where they're extremely comfortable. They have their mate. It's Mate Con Vos is the name of it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's a drink, of course. Yeah.
So they have, they have all the questions from the fans that are coming in and you stay in there for about an hour. But it's good fun. It's enjoyable. And the fans have a real appreciation for it. So it's great.
Okay. Yeah, Mate almost went famous when Suarez and Messi they were doing it, right?
Yeah. And then everyone started getting sick when you had COVID. They keep sharing.
Of course.
This became the problem. But it's good for our players.
Okay, cool. Okay. We're going to start with the standard question and then we'll see wherever we go. That's what we agreed on. We'll see whether we hear a son or a father talking or a player and a coach. I don't care. You can swear, by the way. I don't give a fuck either. But it's my podcast, so we do whatever we want. First, do you know how his coach's room look at the club?
Yeah, so I'll go in there, talk to my father and the other coaches, assistant coaches, but it's a nice room. I'll go in there.
Does it feel like the director's room?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Sometimes how it's set up, you'll have the assistant coaches and then they'll come over to my coach's room. He has his own separate room as well.
Okay. Okay. What do you think is the most important there?
Definitely his desk that he stands up at and raises so he can stand up.
Okay. He a flexible one. Yes. So like it moves up and down. Yes. Yeah. Very modern. Yes. Okay. Okay. Does he spend a lot of time on his desk?
I think so. Yes. Okay. He does. They'll come in there and he'll be in there standing up doing stuff on his laptop.
Okay. Okay. You're right. What's the most important there, do you think?
Probably that, the laptop.
The laptop. Okay.
I spend time in the office, but we also have a larger room where all the coaches have their desks and a larger table with our TVs and all of our tactic boards. So I'll spend a lot of time out in the open space with them when I need meetings with younger players or some of our other players in a more private space. It's in the office. But the computer, the tactics board, these are... Yeah, the lifeblood of what we do. And, as coaches, we spend a lot of time in there talking and illustrating and diagramming. And we have to be welcoming of the players. We're a little further down the hall than the locker room. So,
okay.
But it's nice to have the players visit unannounced without me having to request them. But it's good. I think the openness is important. The players feel you know, a calm and a freedom to move into our space as coaches as well. So we try to keep that as lighthearted as we can when we can.
Do you notice that players just like in any, let's say, football facility, the room of the physiotherapist, mm-hmm. that's the most yeah. relaxed one. Everybody's just hanging out there. Some of them getting a massage, but sometimes you also want that feeling in your coach's room that people just step in and yeah. sometimes there's a boundary.
Yeah. I think, for Claudio and I, this is a club that's now 2 years old. We were fortunate enough to be part of the building process, building on every level. So when we started to design this training center, St. David's Performance Center, it was with this idea in mind. How is the flow of the building so that there is more interaction for players and high performance staff, the scouting, in order for players to feel comfortable and feel safe in their space, but also have contact, have more real touch points throughout the building. And I think, you know, as time's gone on, there's things that we would also like to change to enhance that more. But I think that was all part of the design. And when you see what's here at PSV, it's incredible. And some of these things are similar to what we were setting out to do by design. And it works quite well. But I think the contact with players is very important today with where the sport is. Relationship building, it's quite critical to not just be on the field. There has to be more, you know, relationship building inside and away from the soccer field. So it's part of what we set out to do.
It really changed, I think, because you were, let's say, a top player 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And then there was much more distance, and now it's much more family almost.
Yeah. I think culture and environment are big parts of, you know, soccer in the United States. You know, the wives, the children, the players, the staff, in order for this to really have the effect that you want over the course of a season or 5 years, you know, instilling what a strong culture is, the connections between the players, the kids, the wives is critical. And for us in 2 years, this, I think, is where we saw a lot of progress from year one to year two. We started in COVID where there was no contact,
there was
no relationship building.
Also not between players and coaches. It was very only on the pitch, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, meetings, everything was very disconnected. And in year two now, we have the ability to foster these relationships more, do more as a team on the field and off the field with families as well. And I think that connection lends to what it looks like on the field. When it's fun, it's extremely exciting. When it's difficult, there's a bond and a brotherhood. And you know, that's not too far off from football all over the world, I'm sure, but it's really, really important in America.
Yeah. I'm going to adjust one thing.
Sure. Because
Thinking about that, because you were appointed 2019,
mm-hmm.
there was not really a club. Well, there was a club, but nothing on the pitch, I think.
Yeah.
In 2020, there was COVID.
Yeah.
So there was still a completely abnormal situation. Pretty interesting start of starting out as a head coach.
Yeah, very difficult. I think I was with the national team in 2019 and obviously making preparations, you know, at the end of that to be the head coach at Austin. And then as 2020 begins, COVID hits and we're in the process of having to build an entire team with no players, no staff. So it does take an effect or have an effect on what that looked like. You're no longer able to go watch players in person. You're no longer able to meet with agents. So it made that process difficult, but you know, building a team in our league, there are mechanisms, by which the league operates that you can now construct, the, you know, 26 to 28 players. It's a lot of it happens basically at the end of the year, but you know, in the early part of 2020, we can sign internationals. But
it's
most
the comparable phase of what it is now, right?
Yeah.
So these months, I saw a lot of signings.
Yeah. So right now for an expansion team, which is what we were, the expansion team that just came into our league, St. Louis, is faced with the same thing. You now have the ability to choose five players in an expansion draft. You have the ability to sign internationals basically from January to today. But you also have the ability to trade for players, buy players internally within the league. So different dynamics to create your roster. But again, the relationship building, the team building essence was difficult, much more difficult during COVID because it was just so much more disconnected than it is today. And, you know, those were some challenges after year one that we were able to reflect on, and we got better because of it. But yeah, we had some suffering based on our roster build and certainly the dynamic within our building. But the improvements were made in year two, and I think we've seen the successes.
Yeah. Well, it's purely superficial, but if I look at the results, they're much better now. And I don't know what everything you went into detail, but it looks more solid.
Yeah, for sure.
How was it for you, by the way? You were 15, I think?
I was 16 when I signed.
You were in the academy, or?
For a little bit, I was, yes. I played probably about 10 games with them.
Yeah.
And then I signed in September. And this was my first like full year of being in the MLS and a part of Austin FC.
Okay. How's the experience so far?
This first year was really nice, I think, especially seeing what we built off of our first year and coming into our second year, knowing what we did and coming out with many more results that we liked was good to see.
Okay. And now I'm going to ask a personal question. Did you see a difference in your dad, let's say in the first year and the second year?
I think he was more comfortable in the second year and more confident, I think, with his coaching and what he wanted to see improve in the second year.
Okay. As a dad?
As a dad, what I saw different.
No. Maybe that was as a dad. I don't know. Well, let me exaggerate it a little bit.
Okay.
If things are not going well at my company, I come home and I'm very cranky. If things go well, I'm a little bit more relaxed.
Yes.
That's the fact. Well, that's how I think most of the people react when they come home. I can't imagine, okay, at one point you're with your dad, at the same time maybe you're driving home together. Now it's a different discussion that you have in the car when you're driving back than maybe a year ago.
Yeah.
You don't have to share anything. Don't worry.
Yeah. When he's happy about what's going on, of course you see a different father when he comes home. And when he's upset, maybe he stays at the facility a little longer, but he still comes back as a...
That's a good way to deal, I think, actually.
Same father, yes.
And I think it's good. Well,
yeah, it's difficult. I think what I've learned is the... I was an assistant coach for 7 years, and now you're the head coach. There's much more responsibility to have the connections in the building, so to speak. The high performance is extremely important. The scouting is important. The connection with the academy is quite important. So as the head coach, you're also the leader of many spaces, and it's important to delegate responsibilities throughout your staff to help with session planning and certainly reviewing of games. But I was very... After the first year, I was quite as difficult as the year was. I was still pleased with what we were able to do as an expansion team, even though we had 9 wins and 20 losses. It's
expansion means that it's the first year, yeah, or
the first year of this.
That means the term expansion or something. Yeah. Yeah.
It's the first year of our existence, and again, we had some difficulties with injuries to start out. But what I saw was a team that could play, and our ability to teach and bring forth our game model and our ideas was very good. The results, the validation for players didn't come in way of results or maybe scoring as many goals as we like. But as a coach, I saw the product that we were able to quickly give the players information and that now be relayed onto the field. And, you know, some of that is some of the deficiencies in goal scoring and results is lack of quality or maybe lack of clarity as to how we really want to finish off games or finish off attacks. But as we concluded the first year, we made some additions with some players. And for me, I could see a little bit of quality helped our product on the field. And in year two, we needed to increase some leadership inside the group, change a few things tactically. And in a year further down the road with more learning and understanding of what we were trying to do, guys came into this space a little bit more calm, a little bit more confident of what Sure. of what we were expecting. And right away, we hit the ground running in year two, and there was more goals, there were wins. So the validation of our work for players was very evident. And for me as a coach, it just the experience of year one was right there, evident for me again, right at the beginning of year two. And as Owen says, when I come home, of course, there's the father. But I am a coach, but I'm always a father, and I have 4 children. So to be mindful of not bringing home the frustrations or the excitement to some degree is something that I think will always be challenging. But you know, I think it's part of growth as a person as well.
Yeah, well, I wrote down you had four kids, so I'm not mm-hmm. forgetting the other kids.
Sure.
You are sitting here, but yeah. The other ones are just, but, and I'm not trying to push the button on how you drive home. That's not the case, but the coaching job is stressful, especially when you are, as you say, the expansion team. And if I'm hearing it correct, well, that's my interpretation. You are a process coach that's very aware of, but still you have to have the trust in a process where you know maybe the first 6-7 months it's going down.
Yeah.
And then you have to have confidence in your own choices that in the end it's going to go up.
Yeah.
When I switched to, it's a different level, but I was assistant coach as well. And then I moved up to being a head coach at the semi-professional level. We went straight up.
Mm-hmm.
We were winning. We were promoted. And actually, I forgot the process.
Yeah.
Because I was so, let's say, going on the high of winning that in the end of the season, things went down and I kind of took it to the next season. So it's almost the same mm-hmm. process that happened, but it went the other way around.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you say that. I think the process is really important. And that's what, again, when I look back at what was happening in the first year, I think that's where I felt like what we were doing was working. And again, there is the end of the year and there's the stress of, you know, fans and media and, you know, somewhat inside our ownership of, is this working?
Yeah.
Is this
Did we really choose working? The right path, yes. For example?
And,
yeah.
You know, fans and media can always, you know, it's time to fire the head coach. And the reality of building an expansion team is it does take time. And I think that's where Claudio's been in our league. He's worked in New York City. I've been in this league since 1998, 25 years of MLS existence. And I have no false expectations that we were going to go out and win MLS Cup in year one, but we wanted to establish an identity, create a philosophy inside our group and have a real, you know, a strong environment and culture. But the validation, you do need to win games. I mean, I think that is obviously a big part of sport. And in year two, there's a bigger emphasis on winning. But the process is still priority for me. It's still the priority. And of course we will have different touch points with the players that, you know, for us illustrate how important winning is, but that's for the players to grab a hold of and for the fans to feel. For me, it's validating to win, but the process is just as important as the results. And it's hard to not, you know, for me to break from that. And, you know, I think as time goes on, my process will get better, or our process will continue to get better and evolve. And hopefully the results will continue to carve the way.
Yeah. I was reading a lot about ownership lately.
Yeah.
Taking ownership of a process. And as a coach, especially in that phase, you are right in the middle of the process because you have people above you that can decide over you. You have fans that create an atmosphere, and then you have the players, which you cannot control it, but that's the only ones that you have maybe
the most important ones.
Yeah, the most important ones, and also the ones that you have a direct effect on.
Yeah.
Let's say daily, but the way that you lead is, okay, you lead your players, which is clear, but you also kind of have to find a way to lead up. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How did you keep the players on the right path, but also the people around you? Fans is a little bit more difficult, maybe. But let's say Claudio, okay, this is do you knock on his door every day, or how does it work?
I think Claudio and I have a good relationship. We've played together. We've been in the league together to some degree. He was in New York City and I was in Columbus. You know, we have the background in the sport, but I think the ideas and the way that we see the game line up. And I think that's also quite important. There always needs to be some level of tension between, I think, you know, someone of his position, a sport director or a GM, a head coach, just like I have some tension within my staff that I think is healthy tension.
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
Having an understanding of ownership is extremely important. What are their expectations? You know, short term and long term. And I have a relationship with Anthony Precourt, who is our owner, and I've known him and worked for him in Columbus for a number of years as well. So I think he was understanding of what this was going to look like. in the time that was necessary for us to get it in place.
He was aware that this is a process.
Yeah, I think so. He's been in the league. He's watched over 7-8 years these new teams that have come in. Some have hit the ground running. There's a different spend. LAFC has spent, you know, $50, $60, $70, $80 million. Atlanta, the same. There is a way that you can commit some funds to really, you know, build out a very strong roster. And there are other teams that do it in a different way. We probably didn't spend that much money, but we still wanted to build a very competent, competitive group, similar to some of the other teams, a Nashville and a Minnesota. And it does take time for you to get everything in line. Not all players are going to be a success.
Yeah.
So there's also just that. You have many dynamics that are inside an expansion team. And, you know, during COVID as well, a new stadium, we played the first 9 games on the road. So there were these challenges, again, in year one that were really, really difficult. COVID, for me, was probably the hardest, looking back and reflecting, just because of the effect that it has inside a group and not allowing for the team bonding, the chemistry, the camaraderie, which was...
Because there was also no tradition or something. Yeah, there was nothing there.
There's no history.
Yeah, of course.
There is no history. So, but Claudio and I have a good relationship. We stay very... very much in similar spaces. He's out at training every day. If he's not, we have video that he's able to tap into and watch.
Well, is he wearing a tracksuit and walking around, or is he like behind the fence and walking?
No, he's dressed in pants and a polo or something.
Do you allow them? I never allowed people with normal pants on the pitch. That was my rule.
I think when Owen will know, and when we're out on the field, there's proper attire for the coaches.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes place on the field. You should be dressed accordingly.
Yeah,
and anyone in that space, whether it's photography, social media, should respect that space as well. And you know, it's also the professionalism. It can be playful, but this is where we work, and this is, you know, there is a seriousness to it, and we want to enjoy that. While at times we as coaches and players, there has to be joy. There has to be, you know, there has to be some pleasure to what we're doing. But there are some rules and responsibilities that are very clear.
That reminds me of, there's a story about Snyder at Ajax, that there was a new team doctor who didn't know those kind of rules.
Yeah.
And he was walking in his jeans or whatever kind of pants onto the pitch. And Snyder, who can place a ball anywhere that he wants, would just place the ball right on top of the head of the team doctor.
Yeah.
Okay, this is not how the way that we do this.
Yeah. That's communication. I mean,
it's also a way of communication. For sure.
You need to communicate to everyone in your space. I think that's the responsibility of being a leader. And, you know, you have to communicate that directly to people, or have, you know, your own people that can now convey those messages throughout your organization.
Yeah, I agree. And how do you feel that process? Because you are a player. You, of course, you know, the coach has a plan, but do you experience in a way that what the long-term ideas are, or what's your feeling on this?
Yeah, for me, I have to be...
I'm talking to the player now.
Yes. I try to be very open with what the coaching staff is trying to accomplish and what they're trying to teach the players. And like my father said, there's a validation to it, like winning, scoring goals, but you also still have to trust what's going on, whether you're winning games or not. And you have to believe that it's gonna come through, and you're going to see this process and the formation come together.
And how do you, what does a young player need in that phase? Because you're thrown in a dressing room with big guys. I'm exaggerating again, but yeah, you are skillful, because otherwise you wouldn't be there. But still, there are guys that have a lot more, much more experience. They kind of know what the coach is saying, or sometimes they don't care, which is also sometimes very good. They just do whatever they think is best. And as a young player, you can be, I want to do it perfect. I want to do it the right way that the coach is saying. What does work then for you? What is the best way to approach you in such a case?
For me, I feel like it's easy for me to learn like the ways that we want to do things. And yes, there are the older guys that do that, but they can also teach me things that I don't quite have yet. And it helps me see the game a different way as well. But as far as learning that process, I think just coming straight forward with it and just telling me the information, and I can do it correct every time.
And does it mean that the coach, okay, there's like a team presentation, and if you're a young guy, maybe you don't know all the terms or whatever. Is it good? Okay. And Josh, Owen, wait 3 minutes. I'm going to explain you a little bit more. Or does it work when an older player does it? What's the best way that work? Well, what works the best for you?
For me, I feel like I can interpret things that are going on in the meeting room, whether we're talking about how we want to play and offensively, defensively, but also I can go and ask questions and so I can help me understand better with what I'm trying to do.
Okay.
So yeah, I think I can just go to one of the assistant coaches or I can go to my father.
But that leaves it up to you.
Yes. Or they can come to me and they can see that I don't quite understand it yet. And they can pull me into the coach's room and walk me through it.
Okay. Do you think, because you're literally in that phase that as a young player coming through to the seniors, that there's enough intention? You cannot say in general because you only have one experience, which is at Austin. But let's say in the current situation, you felt you were welcome. You felt you were on your spot and you felt that everybody helped you?
Of course, like first being a part of something, maybe you're not as close as you want to be. But as like you go on, you start to make friends and you start to find the people that you can be surrounded by. And we have a group in Austin. I feel like the young guys really come together and we hang out a lot and we get to bond together.
That's like the young players that are relatively the same age.
Yes. Closer to 20s, the young 20s. That's our
youngest after 17.
Yeah. Still, you are a different kid. No, but the reason why I'm asking is because as a coach, a head coach or whatever, in whatever situation you have 20 players or 18 players and you can only divide your attention in certain ways. And we tend to, again, assumption, but you have a young player, he's good enough. Okay, the first two sessions, I'll make sure that he's there. But then it's back to business. He's one of the guys, just follow in. But especially with young players, those first two sessions are not the problem. They overcompensate everything. They are want to be there. But in the long run, I think you can kind of relate maybe, but they probably need more attention in that first or even first 2 years.
Yeah, I think so. I think, young players need support. They need support on the field. They need support off the field. In the end, they have to perform. And he's 17, and when he signed with us, he was 16, and there was plenty of criticism that your father is signing his son, and it's nepotism. And at the end of the day, he's going to have to perform and illustrate why he was signed. Claudio Reyna is our sport director. He's played the level, played soccer at a high level, as have I. So he's also been in environments where he sees talented young players and what's required of young players, what growth mindset, the buy into what a collective group it looks like. And then my job as a coach and our staff is to teach and educate. And we take that extremely seriously. We have a way that we play. It's not the same as everyone else, but inside that there are roles and responsibility, principles and objectives each and every day. And we try to communicate and articulate those to our players as clearly and simply as possible. I think what I learned as a coach in my first year is it's a lot of new information for many players. So there is a certain amount that they can no longer take on more information. So year one, we felt that. Year two, we introduce more language, more information, new ideas.
It doesn't even matter whether you're 17 or when you're 28. Everything is new in this case.
Yeah, exactly. So the first year, it's new for a lot of people. Owen was in the Columbus Crew Academy where I was coaching before. So game model, structure, positional play is something that he was quite aware of. And now, there's certain player attributes and qualities that we are very defined about and based on the positions on the field. So he has a level of understanding of that. But when you start playing with men, there's a realization what that looks like and feels like. And at the end of the day, you have to perform. And I think what was really unique about Owen was when he did start to play with men, there was very little drop off. There was very little difference as he started to get healthy and get stronger. He still is developing and growing. From a physical side, it can't be overwhelming for the player, or else I think we all know talent is something that even if you don't have size, it'll come along as you mature.
Sure. But
I thought for him physically, he was in a good place at 16, 17. And yeah. now we keep enhancing the technical qualities, the tactical ideas. And he's still growing, but he brought those things and that enabled him to get on the field and actually perform in a really, really good way. And he played, the team had success. So he was able to capture this quickly. And that's important. That's important for him, but also the other players in the locker room to have full faith and believability sure. in the player.
Sure.
So, no, and the coach. And the coach.
Yeah, can imagine. Yeah. This with every 17. If yeah. you can be such a talented player and you can maybe have your first 30 minutes yeah. Substitute, okay, and everything goes well, but it's in the long run, can you cope? Yeah. Can you deal and do you improve? I think yeah. That's
exactly right. There's yeah. to have a growth mindset, it's a big part of for us our roots or our values that we talk about having a growth mindset, you know, being about the collective and being brave and knowing that when you have, you know, the bravery is you're going to take things on and there's going to be failures. How do you respond to that? Yeah. How do you react to that? And I think for our young players, it's giving them preparation and that's how we can try to instill confidence. You know, I think it's very important that we give ideas and solutions, but at the end of the day, the players will show you what they know and also need to show their creativity as well, but inside the structure of how we want to play and how we want to work.
Coaches, sorry for the interruption. Besides the coaches room, I run another company called Football Tours. This is a full service touring company and we organize pre-season and winter training camps for professional football teams. We do this for both senior and youth teams and we take care of everything. Hotel, training accommodation, friendly matches, whatever you need. We give youth teams the opportunity to train at the best youth academies of the Netherlands. Academies like PSV, Feyenoord, AZ Alkmaar and the KNVB, you can train there with your team. So, if you are a professional coach, you need to organize your training camp, or if you have a youth team and you want to train at the best facilities in the best academies of the Netherlands, go to footballtours.com. And now pay attention, tours is with a Z. So footballtours.com.
Number 10, that's your ideal position, but they put you on the sideline first, which is pretty normal choice in men's football, I think. And if I hear it, you are, again, it's an assumption, but you want to be creative and there's risk in your game. How did the staff, maybe your father or a coach, it depends in which situation, gave you the confidence that you felt, okay, I can take the risk. I can just do what I normally do. Because there are a lot of coaches that say, okay, guy, just make your first minutes and don't make any mistakes, which in my idea has the wrong effect. Yeah. How did they give you the confidence?
So I started my first game. They told me the day before the game that I was going to start. So they also...
There was no time to think.
Yeah,
sometimes a
well.
Good thing.
Yeah, yeah, sure,
sometimes
sure.
Sometimes a good
sure.
thing.
But yeah, the coaching staff, assistant coaches came up to me and they said that I've earned it. And they told me that you just do your thing out there and you work hard defensively, offensively, and the rest of it will come. And when I got in the game, maybe the first 10 minutes, I was a little nervous. But as it went on, I found my way in the game and I thought I played pretty well.
The first thing you said is, I earned it.
Yes.
Which means it was not randomly. It was something that was, the choice was built upon a longer period. I think that says it all, right?
Yeah. For the first part of the season, I wasn't rostered. So it was hard for me, but I just continue to work and training and hopefully earn that spot in the 20 that we have. And when I do, I do get a little feel of what it's like to be a part of the 20. And it did encourage me to work even harder to try and make the starting 11.
Yeah.
And when I did, I was very happy and excited to have my first start. And just
it was a good game. Yeah. We as you mentioned, he had a few games, many games leading up where he got 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And we had a two games in quick succession. We were in Salt Lake on a Wednesday night, and then we were playing NLAFC. So it was a trip that we stayed on the road.
Yeah.
We had a red card in this Wednesday night game. He came on. He had a number of good plays that almost got us the tie. We ended up losing 2-1 after we had a player sent off. And then the next game is in LAFC against the best team in the West. Yeah. And, you know, this was the game that I introduced him as the starter. So, again, on one hand, you have a 17-year-old and you're playing against the best team. And it's an emotional game for us as an organization because we're in second place most of the season. And this was the opponent directly above us. But he earned the opportunity. And when he went out and performed in this game, he did quite well. And we came away with a victory again, which helps validate
for sure
the work that he's done, but the work that the group had done. And, you know, this is part of, you know, a little bit of the feel as a coaching staff, but it's also recognized where the player is emotionally and mentally, that he'd performed well in a few games. And here's an opportunity in a game that comes quickly because of, you know, the travel and schedule congestion. But ultimately, the players have to perform. And when you perform, sometimes the results go your way. And in this case, it went our way. And again, this was a big moment for us, you know, as an organization, but also for him individually.
Yeah. So, yeah. What I, again, it's from the outside, but what I like about the process is that it doesn't feel all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a one-time chance. You don't have to prove yourself at that moment. You already did that. And the choice of words in earning means that there is a foundation.
Yeah.
So there's all your confidence, I think. It's not like, okay, you have, because he's injured, he's going to play when he's come back. This is your only shot. That's completely different pressure than building up towards a moment where you can, if it fails, nothing is going to get taken away from you because you already earned, let's say, a foundation, which I think is very positive. That I can almost imagine that's why it felt so relaxed.
Yeah. Definitely coming, building up to that game, there are training sessions and there's times like where you feel like you might not be able to make the 20, but just like me continuing to believe that I can and just keep working and training also helped me feel comfortable in that game where I was playing a right winger.
Yeah.
Yes.
But for what I'm also a little bit looking for is, so we as coaches, it's very important that the words that we choose in such a process and the way that we approach this, and that's why I'm maybe zooming in a little bit on those details. And what you're now describing is your personal, let's say, ownership of your process, which is completely up. No, it's not completely up to the player, but which is much more important than I think even the process of the coach. Because if you believe that you can make it, whatever the coach says, you're going to make it anyway. Which is also very interesting. Okay, and now building up to the next season. Interesting if you can keep the spot. We're not going to go into those details now. Maybe back to sure. You being a dad. Then you are the coach, mm-hmm. And as a coach, you're okay. No, he's the best choice. Blah 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 blah. And then at one point, you realize, I just put my son in the first 11. Mm-hmm. How was that for you?
It was good. I think my wife was probably more worried about it than I was, again, because we see him every day in training.
Yeah. Of course, yeah. So you were very aware of what happens. Yeah,
I think
of course.
It's quite important. We also see how he's being viewed by his teammates. You have the performances that he's able to put together, whether it's 15 minutes, 30 minutes. And I think those things are important. And for us, it's getting him as prepared as possible, whether he's my son or not, that's irrelevant. We have a way that we want to play. We have players that have certain qualities and there are certain needs inside of a game. And we make decisions based on those things, or at least I do. And, you know, our staff felt fully confident in him. And, you know, I think preparation is a big thing. I think there's no such thing as luck to me. You know, performance is performance. You know, I think, you know, opportunity meets preparation and now you get these things, which is what he was able to achieve. But I was delighted for him and for our team, again, to win this game after we lost on a Wednesday and turned around on a Saturday to beat the best team in the league was an emotional lift for our group. And it only spurred us on through the summer. We were quite dominant throughout the summer, and as an away team, we performed extremely well. And this validated a lot of what we were doing as coaches as well. So the players get the buy-in, the coaches get the buy-in, staff, fans. So there's a in a vacuum these very strong positives. But as you know, the game is humbling. So the process is what we always go back to, and making sure that we keep things in a very even keel manner while still having enjoyment, but thinking about the process to get good results.
Yeah. And what you come across is, you both come across as calculated guys in this process. Yeah. We're very aware of your, let's say, double roles. I'm trying to find where it overlaps, but just because I find it very interesting.
Yeah.
But I think you're very aware of what the situation that you're in, and sometimes there's always overlap, but you almost try to pick apart the small details, so where the line is or where the separation is.
Yeah, I think there's perception from the outside world of what this looks like.
For sure.
You know,
not for me, because I didn't know about you guys 2 years ago, a year ago, but still.
I have three other kids, I have three other children, I have a wife. So there is a life outside of this, and you know, the game takes us away from time with our children, with our wives, but I think everyone has come to understand what that looks like. So when we are together, there's making sure that you're present, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally. And then you were asking about the first year and the second year. That's where I think I learned a lot about that part of it. You know, being there, it was difficult, but you have to find time. You know, when you are present, you have to be present. You have to physically be there, mentally be, emotionally, for your kids, for your wife, for their lives as well. And, you know, the work-life balance is challenging as a professional coach, whatever sport you're in. And that's something that I'm going to need to continue to grow at. And I listen to coaches talk about this, and I speak with many coaches inside our league that are younger or older, to get feedback, to have clarity, so that I, you know, understand the space as well, some of the difficulties that others are having. I think it's important to keep reflecting and keep growing. But you know, I think it's each year will provide new challenges and new opportunities. And we're now in our third year, but you know, we've had so much good and bad that's happened in these two years, but that experience has put us in a place where we're more prepared today than we were 2 years ago. And I look forward to that. I think Owen does as well as a footballer.
Okay. And Gavin is the second son.
He's my third son.
Third son.
This is the middle son. Our oldest, who's 19, he's now in Belgium
on loan,
but he plays with Atlanta United.
And Gavin is in the academy as well?
He's in the academy. He's
coming, right? I saw he was picked up for the U15s.
He was with the Nationals. U15 national team, and he's with the U15 academy in Austin. He's a left-footed center back, so for now.
So that's not any competition for your spot.
Yeah. No, not yet. Not yet. He's personality. There's a lot of personality. As quiet and calm as Owen is, he has some personality as well. But Gavin is probably the most off the cuff. He's not the most filtered. He's very youthful.
He had to compete against his bigger brothers, probably.
He took a beating from these guys. he has such a calmness when he plays. It's quite unique. And left-footed center backs are so rare.
Yeah.
I keep telling him, man, just keep learning, keep enjoying it. Keep developing, because you know, you never know. You never know where it can take you.
Okay, so I hear a dream coming with a coach and three sons.
Left center backs are rare. We're hoping.
Okay, I want to go into one last question. And that's, well, maybe the moment that you learned from the most. I asked Guus Hiddink, who was here last week, also the same question. What was your darkest hour or darkest moment as a coach? And that's step one. But step two, what did you took from it?
Yeah, I mean, the darkest moment, I mean, last year was just, the first year, I guess, was just difficult. You don't envision, you know, losing 20 games. You know, and some of that had to do with the things I've already spoke of.
Yeah, yeah.
The roster.
We know the context, COVID.
But that's a difficult thing to swallow and to hear. And of course, you'll hear the noise from many different circles, but maintaining a confidence and belief in what you're doing. You know, people would ask me this, did you really envision year two looking as well as it did or as strong as it did? And I can look them dead in the eye and say, yes, I did. Yes, I did believe that, even though we had the difficulties that we had in year one. Because for me as a coach, I could see what was working. From the inside, I can see what's working. And I could also see along the way, or as we reflected at the end of year one, the real gaps that were there on the roster, but in the leadership and character inside the group, and some of the changes that I needed to make with our staff, tactically with our group. And, you know, I think having that peace of mind is also calming to our staff, but to our players. And again, we have to provide solutions. We have to now take it from ideas and make it actionable. And what we did with the additions from a player standpoint and a tactical standpoint, I think saw great fruition right away. And right away, our guys captured this. And right away, the fans, our ownership, and everyone inside our organization could feel it and see it. But the experiences of year one allowed for this experience of year two. I really, really do believe that. And I had no doubt that we were going to have success. Did it mean we were going to be second place in the West and compete for MLS Cup? I don't know. But I set big objectives and big ambitions for our team at the beginning of the year that we spoke about. And that was reflective of myself and our staff and what we believed we could achieve, truthfully.
Yeah. So it made you... Well, they, what Cruyff said, you better go down with your own philosophy instead of somebody else's.
Yeah.
And, okay, it's not literally what happened. No, but you stuck to your own. You stuck to the process. That's what I hear mainly. And you believe, although there was a lot of resistance or whatever, there were a lot of reasons to change, but you didn't.
Yeah, I think so. I think you see this all around the world. And I talked to the coaches here with young PSV, and it's a very clear message, and it's very. It reminds me so much of what I've now experienced in year two is you want to become extremely good at a few things and giving many, many ideas and many solutions and different structures and organizations can become disorienting. It can become overwhelming for players. And in year one, I had a little bit of this because, again, you have 28 players that are having to take in new ideas, a staff that I also have to teach. So there's a lot of newness to it, but at some point you can't keep giving information. So we can condense that in year two and built off of year one, but it's really, really important. Become very, very good at a few things and over time, show the evolution, show the adaptation. But first and foremost, to capture everybody in the same space and to have that believability and validation, I think it was really, really important for us in year two to work this way. And it did. It did pay dividends. And I completely understand and appreciate what the coaches and young PSV are saying.
Yeah, if you put it all in the mix, so you have a new, let's say, franchise or a new team, you have COVID, and you have a coach which has never been a head coach on that level. One of the factors would be enough, but you had all three, which gives you even more. Well, it makes it even more special. It's not special. It's the process makes it tougher, I think, and you have to really believe in that. Yeah. So that's very, it's special. I think that's the best word. Mm. And you? Did you had a phase, let's say, in your young career where you were, okay, this feels like a low point, and maybe how did coaches help you?
Yeah, maybe throughout.
If you're 17... and you're already playing in MLS, you're already also on a really high point. I think you can be very proud of that as well, but still.
Yeah, throughout my first full year of being a part of the Austin FC, I started 11 games, I think, throughout the whole year, and I started about 9 in a row. And that was probably one of my higher points throughout my career so far. And then not starting after the 9th game was tough for me, but it was probably a learning experience to know just that you have to be consistent with your performances because you can't be on and off or else you won't have.
Why were you disappointed? Because you would, okay, now I'm 9. I'm now the one of the first that you put in. Was that how you experienced it?
I wasn't disappointed, but I was more, it was more of a learning experience. Like
that's a very polite way to say it.
He was mad at Dad. I'm sure there was some,
you were. I would throw things around if I were.
Yeah.
It was a learning experience for me to know that your performances have to be consistent, and if they're not, then you won't always be in that starting 11.
I'm not gonna try to put you in it. Okay, somebody says to you, and the coach in this case is definitely the coach. Okay, you're not starting, and you're not gonna say to me after 10 seconds, okay, this is a learning experience. You're gonna have different thoughts. I hope. Well, I think it's very healthy if you have that. And then now you can look back at it as a learning experience. What made it a learning experience? So there's a if you say to me honestly now, after 5 seconds, I learned my lesson, I trust you. But I cannot imagine that that was the case.
Yeah. Throughout the games that I was playing, the first few games, I was putting up good performances, but the last couple, maybe they weren't my best. And it was just, maybe a little frustrating for me to see that happen. With all the hard work that I try to put into all training sessions and games. But yeah, probably looking back at it now, it was definitely a learning experience. But in the moment, it was probably me just being really frustrated.
And then what happened. And then you were okay. What the F's happening here? And are you going to look at footage or what did you do? Or did you, okay, now I'm going to go show up at training and I'm going to show everybody that this guy made a mistake.
Yeah, but for me, being a young player, you just gotta accept that. I do watch video and I do ask questions on like how I can do better.
Yeah.
But as always, just going into training sessions and trying to work the hardest and be the hardest working player out there. Especially being the youngest one out there.
Sure. I think still is a very polite way to answer, but how would you like a player to react?
Yeah, I think it's expected. I think when you're young, are you going to come and knock on the door? There are older players that immediately, when he's starting, I get players knocking on the door. Yeah, it's not because it's my
football,
son.
Yeah.
You know, strikers the same way. People that have, you know, make an impact in the games, they want opportunity as well. And when the team is doing well, there's also not as many changes. And when he was starting, I think we ended up winning 5, tied 3, lost 3. So he's, as a starter, he was also performing. But as performance dips or results start to waver, or schedule congestion, there's opportunities to make changes. But we were a pretty consistent group. We utilized probably 16 or 17 players throughout the year.
That's not a lot.
Which is not so uncommon. We have 34, 35 games. But you know, we kept guys healthy, and the team was performing in a good way. So there wasn't a ton of opportunities to rotate or change guys. But I think for Owen and for any player, when the disappointment arrives, it's how do you respond to it. But also as a staff, how are we monitoring this? What's the level of contact? We're also watching in training. We're watching for cues. Of course, we need to talk to the players as well. And certain experienced players, you maybe give a little bit more information prior to them playing or not playing. For a young player, we also want to see how they respond.
Sure.
without hearing they're not starting. Or when we do tell them they're not starting. So there's lots of things that go into it. But more than anything, communication is critical. I'm one coach amongst 5 other coaches inside our technical staff, and everyone's voice is important. Everyone's time is important. And, you know, young players need probably more information, need more guidance. So those are things that we try to highlight. But I think, you know, for him, being frustrated, being pissed off is okay. Come out to the field and, and demonstrate why it is you need to be starting. Not in a careless, reckless manner, not in a disrespectful manner. And having fights and shouting match in training is a good thing. It's a level of tension. Crossing the line is crossing the line. So we want this. We need this stimulus and this impulse sometimes. But I think our players also understand and respect what we as coaches are trying to do. And in order to be a high-performing team, you need this each and every day. And young players, old players, it doesn't matter. It's a level of intensity and competitiveness that we need. And it's professional soccer.
I think I think even learning how to react is a learning process.
Yeah, agreed.
If you're a 17-year-old and you throw a ball against the wall, nobody's going to judge you. But after, if you're benched 5 times, you're still throwing bottles, then you're not learning a lesson.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because sometimes the coaches think after one bottle, they think, okay, that's already enough. But yeah, every player reacts in its own way, and that's okay as well.
Yeah.
As long, like you said, there's a line to cross.
Yeah.
And if you cross the line, there's even learning to cross the line sometimes.
Yeah. And I think that's part of it. And players will do certain things. I think they're also looking at how you react to it. How do you respond to now their disappointment or their dejection? So do they want a reaction from you as a coach?
Sure.
You know, some
tension.
Moments, some players, you'll get a reaction. And other times I'll leave it for someone else, an assistant coach. I mean, some assistant coaches are players, some aren't, but this is where you have a certain feel about, you know, your locker room and your personnel. And it's really critical to the dichotomy of our group and the culture of our group. So, yeah. You know, I think it's, he'll continue to face these things. And as all young players and experienced players do, but when there's a time to knock on the door, I would always encourage, go knock
on the
door.
If you're never benched, yeah. Then you're not on your top level.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, to feel that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Let's see if you learn more lessons. Okay, guys. I think it was very interesting to talk to you.
Thank you.
I hope I didn't push you over the dad and coach line too much. When I drove here, it got me thinking, completely different. I have a kid that's 6 years old and a kid that's three years old, and I coach them. Mm-hmm. And then when I have a team gathering on the pitch, I have seven kids that are nice in front of me and two kids that are hanging on my shoulders because I'm the dad. And while I drove here, I was thinking, okay, let's see how the relationship is between you in a performance environment, in which is a top performance. And I think we got a glimpse of the way that you deal. You're not going to jump on your dad's shoulder when he huddles the teams in, but no, still.
Probably not.
We've got some pictures together out on the field. We're a competitive group. We're inside our family. We're quite competitive. Yeah. We have a young girl as well, Ella, who's
does she 12. Play any sports?
She plays. She's probably more for the social elements.
She's
discovering more of that side of it now. But, you know, the three boys, Ella, my wife as well. I mean, it's competition inside our group has always been a healthy thing. And, you know, it's...
If you play 2-on-2, who's the best player?
2-on-2?
We used to kill them when they were younger. We just beat on them. It was
this was like a coaching staff against 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
But now you have your older brother. I forgot his name. Yeah. But
Tyler,
Gavin, you.
Yes.
You can play 2-on-2, but who will then, in such a small game, be the best player? That's interesting.
They would complain because it would be Greg, myself, Frankie Hayduk. And they're like, you guys were in World Cups. Of course you're going to beat us. But it was like 5 of us against 10 of them. So, but anytime, kids... They don't ever get to win. We never let them win. But now they win everything, and that's the humbling reality of getting old.
I hear they cheat for sure. They cheat for sure.
They definitely do now.
Yeah, they have to probably.
Yeah. It's tough getting old, slower and slightly heavier.
Okay. Well, we'd love to see it. Okay, guys. Thanks again. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Inside the Coach's Room. Make sure to subscribe or rate us in your favorite podcast player, or share this episode on your social media, and we will make sure that you will get access to the best webinar that's available on our website. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. I would be happy to connect.